honest teeth, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back into the grill room. I'm Bob Bupker. I'm here with Jay Randolph Jr., St. Louis golf icon, ambassador to the oldest public course west of the Mississippi, the Normandy Golf Club. And he has some ideas about professional golf, and he was a good stick when he played collegiately. So when he says something, I advise you pay attention, but don't always agree with him. Most of the time, I'll be right. Jay, welcome to another week of covering golf.
I'm looking forward to our next edition of the Grill Room.
All right, let's get right to it. We got so much to talk about. Let's quickly wrap up last week on the PGA Tour. It was the OHL Classic at Mayacoba, Mexico. 40-year-old Pat Perez wins for the second time. Previous win way back in 2009. I always thought Pat was very talented. I didn't think he got much out of his game as he probably could have, Jay.
Well, you know, Bobby had that temper, and you wonder how that factored in. You would think by now he'd have 5, 6, maybe even double-digit victories. But Pat Perez has got big-time game, and, you know, he's one of those guys, and you look at that leaderboard, Gary Woodland. You know, there are golf courses like they play out in the desert for the Bob Hope or at the Mayacoba where these guys just go low, Bob. I mean, 68's not going to get it done. You got to go 66 or lower.
I remember when Pat Perez successfully got through Q school and first prize was $50,000. And I was doing an interview with him and I said, congratulations, you're on the PGA Tour now. And I said, on top of that, you won $50,000. And he looked at me like, are you crazy? What the hell is $50,000? I'm going to make a lot more money than that. And he was right. But I think you hit the nail on the head there with his temper. Yep. He just couldn't seem to control himself. I mean, smashing a club into the ground and kicking his golf bag. And, you know, well, he's 40 years old now. I guess we could expect that he'd have a little bit different attitude.
Yeah, I think he's matured a little bit. You know, he was always a fun-loving guy away from the golf course. Loved to have fun, hung out with Daly, was friends with a lot of guys, a lot of caddies. But a guy that on the golf course, when he made a mistake, he really took it personally. And I think that got in the way from him winning multiple times when he was younger. But nice to see the resurgence. And he's a guy to kind of watch in 2017. What's this win going to mean to him?
I feel incredible. You know, it's been long. It's been a very down and then to now just on top of the world type of year. You know, we didn't play well on the West Coast. And then I told my caddy, Mike, we got to shut it down. I got to have surgery in March. And that was a real hard thing for me to do. I couldn't imagine not playing. Had the surgery and then it was going to be out a while. And then, you know, you always wonder after that, you know, how are you going to come back? And it was, it's been a very, very unusual 2016, I would say, the least, but very, very rewarding after all the work that we've put in this last 3-4 months to get ready.
You know, you can hear in his voice a lot of sincerity. I think a keener appreciation of being out on the PGA Tour. And I found that out during my career out here, Jay. Sometimes when they have everything on a weekly basis, they don't appreciate it enough. And then an injury or other reasons, they can't compete for a while. While they're away, they say, holy mackerel, did I have it good? And then when they come back, they got a whole different attitude, and I think that's the case with Pat Perez.
One of those guys as a young player was a super junior player, super collegiate player, and like you said, he was on that mark to everything kind of going his way. But as we know, not only in this game but in life, things throw, you know, you get a curveball thrown at you, and it's nice to see him step up to the plate and hit one out of the park.
And I know somebody that was very happy, his dad. If you play Torrey Pines and you get to the first tee, the starter there will tell you it's your tee time. That's Pat Perez's dad. He's been at that job for a long time. Absolutely loves it. Something a player not loving, Gary Woodland. He's had 5 54 hole leads and has yet to close that deal. Jay, he's starting to get into that territory where he's got to be thinking about it the next time he tees it up with a 54-hole lead.
Yeah, once or twice is okay, but now we're at five in these stroke play events, and you wonder if that pops into his mind on a Saturday evening as he looks towards Sunday. It's surprising, with especially as well as he drives the golf ball and as long as he does, but you don't want to make a habit of losing a lead on Sunday.
Well, somebody that's had good habits of not losing the lead on Sunday, his name is Rory McIlroy. He's finally playing, took a couple of weeks off, didn't go to Turkey last week due to security reasons. But Rory McIlroy now in their last event on the European Tour. It's going to be quite a battle, I think, between Henrik Stenson to see who wins that DP World Tour Championship. If you had to put some money on it, I'd probably be picking Stenson. I know you kind of lean towards McIlroy.
Yeah, I do kind of lean towards McIlroy. I know one of the reasons you didn't go to Turkey last week was because of the security situation. Hopefully you'll be able to get there in 2017. But I do think the time off, and I think a refresh Rory. I mean, Stenson, I think, is a pretty much a lock to win the you know, race to Dubai, which now they're all of a sudden changing with an announcement today that they're going to have a 7 signature events, and that's going to kind of make up a series, but it's not going to end with a finale like they have with what's going on this week. But I just think Rory still has something to prove a little bit. And don't count out Danny Willett, even though he kind of shut it down last week, and there was some question about that.
Yeah, Danny Willett, seems like eons ago that he won that Masters. But the player that probably really has come from nowhere, Alex Noren, he's third in the Race to Dubai standings. And boy, oh boy, he's number 9 in the world. He's improved over 100 spots in the world ranking since our United States Open. And don't forget, he was not on the Ryder Cup team. I'm sure that Darren Clark may be regretting that he didn't pick Alex Noren, who has played so well. Before we go any further, Jay Bird, let's give a listen to Rory McIlroy.
I don't know how involved I am in the Race to Dubai. I mean, I just want to win this event this week. I mean, there's still a lot to play for. You know, I'd love to win this tournament for a third time. You know, I know if I win this tournament, I'll get back to number 1 in the world at the end of the year, which is a huge incentive. So I just have to go and worry about what I can do, and hopefully that's win. And I'm sure that won't be enough, so I'll let the other boys battle it out for the Race to Dubai. But you know, I'd love to get my name on that trophy again.
Well, apparently you're influencing a lot of bettors, because Rory, with the bookmakers, and it's legal over there in Europe, is the favorite at 5-2. Stenson at 4-1. I think you've been talking out of school, my boy.
Well, I just have a feeling that Rory's going to pop this week. Like he said, he didn't even really, you know, I don't think he even cares much about winning the overall Race to Dubai, but he wants to win this bad boy for the third time. And you mentioned Darren Clark wishing he'd have picked Alex Noren. I think the first time he heard Alex Noren, he said, "Who the hell's Alex Noren?" And I think a lot of people are going to be doing that come next year when they see him in all the major championships. This guy's obviously got game, but I'm still going with Rory. You can have Stenson, Bobby.
Well, let's go talk about some players closer to our age, Jay. Well, certainly they're younger than me, older than you, so they're right in the middle. PGA Tour champions, the Charles Schwab Cup. Paul Gordos wins by 1 over Bernhard Langer for his second win this season. Good year by Gordos, but a unbelievable victory burned by Mr. Langer. Wins the Charles Schwab Cup for the fourth time. Age 59, he certainly is incredible.
Bobby's kept himself in tremendous shape. He's a religious man. He's a man of great faith, and he draws on that. And I think with this win, I do believe, and I'll get your thoughts, has he eclipsed Hale Irwin as the greatest senior or Champions Tour player of all time? I mean, certainly they've got a lot of parallels, but, I mean, Langer is amazing.
Well, I'm still going to have to go with Hale Irwin. 45 wins. This was Bernhard Langer's 29th win. And don't be giving him too much credit about being in shape. I saw him recently, and I said, Bernhard, it looks like you put on 5 pounds since you won that first Masters. About 5 pounds since you put on that first won that first Masters. He said to me, I did, Bob, but it's all muscle. So an incredible player. And I don't expect him to slow down next year when he turns 60 either.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I mean, this isn't going to stop. This is a guy that could potentially win the Charles Schwab Cup well into his mid-60s. I mean, he's that good. He's that healthy. And, you know, some of the putting woes that bothered him early in his career, he seems to have solved a little bit. Congratulations to him. And like you said, congratulations to Paul Guidos, one of the good guys.
Yeah, he is one of the good guys. He won the Players' Championship. We were at Jacksonville Airport. We were flying out on Monday morning early. I was in line at Starbucks. Somebody was ahead of me. It was Paul Guidos. When it came time to pay, he said to the girl, all I have is a $100 bill. And I said, no wonder all you have is a $100 bill. You just won $100,000 in the tournament. And I said, let me buy you a cup of coffee. So he let me buy him a cup of coffee. But I agree, Jay, certainly a good guy. All right, now time for the ladies. LPGA Tour, Carlotta Sangata wins the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. It's her second win this year. This 26-year-old, she broke through with her maiden win earlier at the KEB Hannah Bank Championship.
Clearly, like you said, Bob, another gal, young gal that, again, not many people know about, but a lot of talent, and nice victory for her at the Lorena Ochoa Invitational.
You know, Jay, speaking of the LPGA Tour, we're very sad to report that Canadian Hall of Famer and 25-year veteran of the LPGA Tour, 56-year-old Dawn Coe Jones, who was a friend of mine when I was covering the LPGA. She was always very kind, very accommodating. She passed away from her battle with bone cancer. She was a great part of the LPGA, recording 3 tour wins in her 25-year career. And our thoughts are with Dawn's family.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor, the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60-millimeter golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com. That's golphin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Shank City. What a mean and evil town, Shank City. You don't ever want to hang around there.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. He's Jay. I'm Bob. By the way, you can follow the Grill Room on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show. And you can send Jay a tweet at STL Golf Geek. All right, some items that we should talk about. Jay, first, what's the deal? Patrick Reed, he didn't play enough events on the European Tour to retain his card. However, Keith Pelley, chief executive now of the European Tour, announced he would, in fact, get to keep his card. When you're the chief executive, I guess you can do what you want.
I don't understand. I'm a little baffled by this. They had granted a spot to journeyman Graham Storm, and it looked like, you know, the decision was set in stone. But then all of a sudden, the tour gives Patrick Reed a special exemption. Now, I don't know that Patrick Reed told him he's going to play in enough events? This is a little odd to me. I'm surprised some of the Euros haven't piped up.
Well, I think one that might pipe up is Paul Casey, because he certainly played well enough last year to be on that European Ryder Cup team, but not being a member of the European Tour, he wasn't eligible. And you mentioned this earlier. It's going to be a new mini-series by Rolex for the European Tour, 7 events in 2017 with enhanced bonus money. Regular money not good enough? You got to give them bonus money now, and they're trying to keep that European Tour, most of their good players, from migrating to the more lucrative PGA Tour. Grill Room will be right on top of that as the year progresses.
What do you think about it? I'm a little surprised. They almost tried to copy what the tour was doing with this race to Dubai as the PGA Tour playoffs for the FedEx Cup. And now they're making the decision to have 7 big events. I mean, you were right in saying they're trying to protect their own and trying to have 7 big events. But at some point, we're going to have to figure something out. Whether we have a worldwide tour, whether we have a PGA tour, whether we have a European tour, this mixing and matching, just like we talked about with Patrick Reed, giving him the special exemption. I mean, maybe they all should be exempt for everything. If you're a PGA Tour player, you can play on the European Tour, you can play on the Sunshine Tour, you can play anywhere.
Well, maybe Keith Pelley better watch out. We may have Jay Randolph sitting in that seat very shortly. Well, the Father-Son Challenge, it's coming up in the off season. Kind of like this event. Jack Nicklaus obviously likes it. He's announced that he's going to play with his son, Jackie. It's going to be Jack's 15th appearance, and he does love playing in that. What about first time at John Daly? Going to be playing with his 13-year-old son, Little John. I bet there's going to be some galleries following that twosome.
I can only imagine. It'll be very interesting to see how JD behaves himself around his son. I look forward to just seeing what Little John looks like. Wouldn't it be scary if Little John came out with a Marlboro and was firing away on the first tee? I mean, who knows with JD?
Well, he liable to show up at the Normandy Golf Club, I think. That's exactly where he belongs.
He'd fit in quite well.
I'm sure that he will. But, hey, it's going to be fun. And all right, time now. Let's take a look at what's next on the tee. And I want to know what Jay came up with for his fantasy golf team for the RSM event that's going to be taking place down in South Carolina. Who'd you pick to do well this week, Jay?
Well, I gave you the kind of dark horse last week with Luke List, who was a good value play on DraftKings, and he finished tied for 7th. I'm kind of following everybody's lead here. I took the number one guy at $11,300 salary, Chris Kirk. He's won this event, finished 3rd, finished 5th. He's coming off a good week, so I went with the chalk there. Kind of my dark horse this week is Bryson DeChambeau, again, a college kid, good amateur player, just now pro for about a year, and I went with him, and also a sleeper in Wesley Bryan, the South Carolina Gamecock. Hopefully, my team will do well this week in DraftKings. We got to get you a DraftKings team soon.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to follow you this week. And let me assure our listeners, if you don't do well, we'll lead off with that story next week. And if you do well, I may forget about it. All right, let's go down under for a while. Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, they're both at 11-4. And our buddy Rod Pampling, he's having a hot hand. He just won in Vegas. He's at 22-1. But the big question, what does Jordan Spieth do? I mean, you know, 2 years ago, wins two majors, came out of the box last April, 5-shot lead, back nine on Sunday at the Masters. Looks like he was going to win major number three, and then suddenly things fell apart. I think this is going to be a big year for Jordan Spieth, and I know he's only 23 years old, and he's got a long future ahead of him, but confidence and momentum are one thing that, you know, when you have them, boy, they're easy to maintain. When you lose them, they're awfully tough to get back.
Bob, this is the thing that kickstarted, not that he needed any kickstart, but this really set everything in motion when he won this thing. And the thing I don't like, again, as I talked about earlier, what tour would you play? That, you know, you have been down under, and you know how golf crazy they are. And I hate the fact that it's up against the finale on the European tour. I mean, that's not right, because this is a great event. And I you know, commend Jordan Spieth for going to play. I think we both would sentimentally love to see Rod Pampling win the Australian Open, but I do think it's going to come down probably to Adam and Jordan. You know, this is a key barometer of where we're going in the next 6 months for Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he's won down there before, and I'm sure he was stung a little bit by the comments that came out by Gary Player, saying that there's a fundamental flaw in the golf swing of Jordan Spieth, and unless he rectifies it, he's not going to be winning any more majors. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, you got to believe Gary Player has seen enough swings in his career to be able to spot a flaw. I think that elbow also goes out a little far. But you know a lot more about the golf swing than I do. You like that swing?
Well, I think Gary may have done too many sit-ups. I think that he's reading too much into it. Jordan Spieth will figure out what he needs to do. If there's a little bit of a problem, then he'll figure it out. But I think my man Gary should stick to wine.
Well, he doesn't have too much of that. He kind of leaves that to you and I. All right, let's get back to that LPGA Tour season-ending event. Race to the CME Globe comes with a $1 million bonus. Everyone knows about the outstanding play of Aria. She's going to put up a heck of a fight against Lydia Ko. They're neck and neck going into this week. Lydia Ko with a brand new caddy and Aria playing the hot hand. But this is a short golf course down in Naples. So maybe it's going to be advantage Ko. Who you going with, Jay?
Well, I think the fact that right now Aria has the slight advantage on the money list and player of the year, Lydia is going to be really motivated this week. But I'm going with a player that some people might think is a sleeper, but you know how she's been playing, and that's Brooke Henderson. I think she is going to maybe make a big splash this week, and not you know, her win will not, you know, take away from the race for the CME Globe, but I think she's going to have a big week.
Yeah, she's an outstanding talent from Canada, has her sister as her caddy. I think that helps her tremendously, being out there as a young girl, having somebody like your sister alongside, certainly good. Also, we want to watch out for Lexi Thompson, lovely player, lovely person. Wouldn't be surprised if she brings it home. All right, that RSM Classic, we talked about it a little bit, by Davis Love, Ryder Cup captain, soon to be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. Been a heck of a year for Davis Love. 2016, not a year that he's going to forget too soon.
No, classy fellow. We talked about it when the announcement came of him going in the World Golf Hall of Fame and really capping it with the Ryder Cup. And they really pull out all the stops there, because Davis is so involved in this tournament. I've seen some of the pictures from down there. They're very excited. Davis has really made this a priority, other than what he's been doing after this year with the Ryder Cup and all he's got going on. Davis is This is his own tournament, really.
Yeah, and a nice touch that he does in cooperation with Yamaha. The pairings party is always a big part of any PGA Tour event. Well, a pairings party for this event, it happens to be at Davis Love's house. He did put up a little tent. Not that his house is probably not big enough, but they put up a little tent, and that's where the pairings party is going to be. Going to be a good time. And I'm going again with somebody that I picked to win the U.S. Open back in 2009, Lucas Glover. He's been knocking on that door. Had a great shot in Las Vegas. Didn't get the job done. Hefty 28-1. But I will not be surprised if Lucas Glover brings it home.
Look at you going for the value. You did call it back when he won the U.S. Open, and he is trending in the right way, and he knows the area. So you did your homework, Bobby. Nicely done.
Yeah, Kevin Kisner, somebody that I know personally, his caddy, actually played basketball for my brother. So the connections never cease out on the PGA Tour. Kisner is the defending champion. He's at a whopping 33-1. You already mentioned Chris Kirk, so we'll have to see how that goes.
That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2. Powered by GolfWeek.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and the Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners. That's their goal. So for Janice Self, my man Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of the Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.